This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, it's Overdrive.
Don't talk over the Stones.
Is this like talking over the national anthem?
God.
How long do you want to let it ride?
Up to 6 o'clock. It's my anniversary. You know. My wife's not a huge Stones fan, not going to lie to you.
I should have let you come in and hit the post.
Yeah.
The old DJ thing?
Or? Yeah. Love the Stones. Well, I used to love
it. Hit the post quarter of a second before the vocals start.
Yes.
Bam.
Yeah.
Lead into the song. Old school radio stuff.
And they played records when they...
Like the 1050 Chum Days.
Yes.
All right. Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller. It's Overdrive. Hour number three, TSN 1050. Streaming on the TSN Go app. Jim Popp, Argos General Manager at 6:45-ish.
Big day for him tomorrow.
No doubt. And Mark Trestman. But even, I would say even more so for Pop, just because of how long he was in Montreal.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the way it ended and just, you know.
It's also a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, that East is wide open. Very available.
And that's the template in Montreal for what Toronto hopes to become. What
the Alouettes were.
What the Alouettes were under Trestman and Pop in terms of on the field and off the field.
All right, so here's the unanswerable question, just given that Ricky Ray's 38 years old. Who's the Calvillo?
Well,
it's
Ricky Ray.
For now, but because he's not a kid, I'm saying going forward. Because the Alouettes had a sustained period of success there for, you know, a decade plus. They came from Baltimore, and they really didn't miss a beat.
So Calvillo was 30 or 31 when he went there, and they, you know, they ran wild with him.
Right. Ricky's not going to play tomorrow night, which is unfortunate, but hopefully...
Well, if he's not out for any length of time, that's what
we're saying. Hopefully... Yeah.
If it's not a, you know, if he's not out for...
The Blue Jays are in action tonight. It's the rubber match, the old rubber match.
The old rubber match, the old three-game series.
So it's Marco Estrada, and it's Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, yeah.
This is his second start in pinstripes, although he has not had a start in pinstripes yet because they've been on the road both times.
His first was just okay, right?
Yeah, it was against Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so he got beat by Kluber, I want to say.
So the Yankees are going to wear names in their backs on this on the players' weekend?
Oh, don't.
Why?
Because I'm in a good mood.
Why?
My
specialty is irritating.
This is the thing that makes I turn into crusty old man when we bring up this jersey stuff.
Okay, so here's the deal. For those of you who don't know, is it the last weekend of August?
Yeah, 25th to 27th. I'm just so glad it's when I'm not at Wrigley.
Oh my God,
seeing Cubs and Jays.
We'll get to that in a second. But players are going to wear their nicknames on their backs. So like Josh Donaldson is going to have Bringer of Rain. Joey Bats.
You know, Stroshow.
Stroshow is going to be on the players' backs. But because
my favorite is Steve Pierce's. Have you seen that?
No.
Pierce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whatever. The ex-White Sox pitcher, Sale, what's he putting on? Because, of course, he had the big beef with the White Sox about the... Remember?
Yeah. I haven't seen Boston's. It won't surprise you to know that I've only seen the Cubs and Blue Jays.
So here's the thing. That means the Yankees are going to have names on their backs for the first time in forever, right?
Correct. I'm pulling up Chris Sale's right now. Now I need to remind myself what number Chris Sale is. Because I'm not... All right, we're going to have to find Chris Sale's number because it's not immediately apparent. He's in the single... He's in the teens, isn't he? Something like that.
Four, isn't he?
No, he's not. He's not a single-digit guy. I'm giving Tyler Hunt, our producer,
so he's 41.
He's 41?
Number 41.
All right. Okay, so number 41. Stickman. I should have known. Because dude is like 6'6",
right,
and maybe and 105 pounds dripping wet.
So the Yankees are going to be wearing their names in their backs, which has got some people bent out of shape.
How about Craig Kimbrell? Dirty Craig.
What? Some guys should not do that. Now, you're going to Chicago.
Yes,
for the Jays series. I think all of Toronto is going. Like, the guy who's painting my house is going.
So he won't be painting your house that way.
He better be done by then. But no, like, it's I've talked to, I would say, literally a dozen people who are going down for that series.
This is a family trip that my parents have organized.
Have you been before to Wrigley?
Many times.
Yeah, you've been, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't.
No, but you've been.
I won't regale you with it. In my first inning of my first game, 14 years old, 1993, Mark Grace foul ball, caught it.
No way.
Absolutely. It was like it was meant to be. So, and this, I've told that story before, so I won't go into detail.
So I actually grew up a Cubs fan and then kind of gave up on them.
I gave up
when I realized they were a tourist attraction, not really, because they weren't serious about winning for the longest time. They were a tourist attraction. They didn't care. They just made money and they lost.
A competence issue, though. I never firmly believe teams don't try. I think there's a competence problem.
There's teams that like to win and then there's teams that have to win. Like the Yankees have to win. If they don't win, people don't go, they lose money. The Cubs, if they win, great. If they don't, still make money.
Which is an opportunity to miss work or skip school and get pissed up in the bleachers.
I mean, people would say that about the Leafs, right, for a long time, right? There was no urgency to win.
Fair, but I do believe there's a competence issue in there. Oh, we can debate that another time. We might be able to debate that tomorrow.
Or on this show, a competence issue. You're
throwing... And scored railroading me there? Is that All right, let's go to, that's not Sleepy Hollow.
It's Quail Hollow.
The site of the PGA Championship for our TSN golf analyst, Bob Weeks. He joins us right now, and our Golf Insider is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. Mr. Weeks, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's not raining. That's great here.
Yeah.
No change.
Humid, though?
It's not too bad. It's hot, but I wouldn't say there's too much humidity today. But the next 3 days look like we're going to get some good old-fashioned thunderstorms here.
Oh,
so
boy.
The guys are trying to take care of things today.
Right. Well, it's like 85 or 90 degrees humidity or makes it feel like 120. So I did this to Gord an hour ago, figuring, you know, it was more joke because, I mean, we don't know. Maybe you do, Bob. You be our guy. Give me the biography of our good buddy, Thorbjørn Olesen.
Thunder Bear, that's his nickname out here.
Thor should be his nickname.
Thunder Bear,
yeah. Oh. Everybody calls him Thunder Bear. He's actually a very engaging guy. And, you know, Denmark doesn't have the most, the biggest golf program in the world, but they've produced some pretty good players over the years. Thomas Bjorn, probably the best known of them. And just kind of found his way onto what's the Challenge Tour, which is kind of like the Web.com Tour in Europe, and then through the European Tour, and has just kept improving stage by stage. He's never been a guy who's led a major before, but he's certainly a capable golfer who's won over in Europe a number of times.
Bob, I'm curious about, you know, this leaderboard. Kepka's there at 3 under, but there's not a lot of big names. The course is long, and you open long and finish long. How much is it taking out of the top players?
Well, it's right now the difficulty here is that the course, the fairways are still pretty wet, so the bombers are taking advantage of that. But going into the greens, they have a sub-air system here, which is like a big suction vehicle underneath every green so they can suck the moisture out of it. So the greens are still pretty firm. And so if you don't hit it in the fairway here, and you don't hit it fairly long, it's really tough to get close to the pins. So it's kind of no one's advantage here. But I suspect that they're sort of doing this knowing that in the next few days, with the weather that's coming in, it's going to be a little bit more like target practice, no matter what they could do with those, that sub-air system under here. If they get the weather they're predicting here and the consistency of it, I think today was sort of a day where we're going to make it tough. You're always going to get a few surprises on the first day. It's just the guys who see that if they can do it for 4 days, they'll stay up at the top of the leaderboard. Jim Murray, the great writer for the LA Times, once said, it was about the U.S. Open, but he said, you know, the phone book was full of guys who led the U.S. Open after one round.
Right. So, Bob, here's the thing. Most of the majors have a character, right? The Masters has fast greens. The U.S. Open is, you know, penal rough and you know, par is a good score. The Open Championship, you know, focus on shot making, sand play, things like that. What does the PGA want to be, and how will the move back to a spring event affect them?
It's the one good question is really, you know, what is the identity of this tournament? And it doesn't really have anything that you can hang your hat on, no nail. There's no consistent kind of course setup or style of course or weather or anything like that that they get. So, you know, I think the one thing that will help it is that it's no longer going to be the last of the four majors. If you put it after the Masters, between the U.S. Open, it becomes something that the guys are going to look forward to a little bit more. The atmosphere around here is big, but for the players, I kind of sense that this is less of a major than the other three. They sort of come in here thinking this is almost more like a regular PGA Tour event, and the practice sessions that they put in and the work that they do kind of fits that model more than anything. I don't think anyone doesn't want to win this tournament, but it just seems to me that this doesn't have quite the cachet amongst the players that the other one does. And maybe by moving it in between the U.S. and the Masters, it might change that a little bit.
With Bob Weeks, TSN Golf Insider, and he's at Quail Hollow. Jordan Spieth, one over today. He's in the clubhouse. Rory is one over playing 16, so his round is about to come to an end here. Just a thought on Spieth's day, Bob, because obviously we're watching closely to see if this guy can win the career Grand Slam shy of his 24th birthday.
Probably the worst putting performance I've ever seen by Jordan Spieth. It was absolutely brutal. The longest putt he sank all day today was 5 feet. He didn't sink anything. And you know when you watch Jordan Spieth, he's rolling in these from 18 and 22 feet and all these kind of things, but nothing went in the hole for him. He said he probably couldn't have putted worse. The only thing I think that saved him was making a couple of birdies coming in on 16 and 17. He actually said, if I made pars there, I probably would have thrown this tournament away. It kind of kept him close. The leaders aren't too far away, only 5 shots, and he can probably make that up over 3 rounds. But, man, when you look at his ball striking, tee to green, compared to his putting, boy, they were just at opposite ends of the spectrum today.
Beauty. Thanks, Bob. We'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
Met Bob Weeks from Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship, our golf insider. Brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. We've got Jim Popp, Argos General Manager, at 6:45. And up next, covering the Pittsburgh Steelers, senior NFL writer for ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert, weighing in on the Le'Veon Bell situation. Bell, of course, has yet to sign his franchise tender. Colbert says, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We'll talk to Jeremy about that next. Stay with us. It's Overdrive. Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, TSN 1050, and the TSN Go app. Going to head down to Pittsburgh in just a minute and talk to Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL writer for ESPN, right now with the Steelers. And I don't know, Gord, what to make of this. It's August the 10th. I really don't think it's necessarily a big deal that Le'Veon Bell has yet to sign his franchise tender.
I think it is. So for those who don't know, a player who's scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent, the team can slap the franchise tag on him. They can make him a franchise player. And that means he has to play for them for one more year. He gets an average of the top five salaries at his position. So Bell, in Bell's case, I think it's about $12.5 million as a running back. Or 120% raise, whichever is higher.
Which is not bad.
The players, this is supposed to be player-friendly.
Right. Problem is it's a one-year deal.
They hate it. The players hate it.
It's a one-year deal, and then once you're past the tag deadline, you can no longer negotiate a long-term deal.
Right.
So he plays on a one-year contract this year regardless.
And that deadline's passed for him.
Right. The issue with Bell is that he views himself as a hybrid out of the backfield. So this is his argument, essentially, which is, I'm a running back,
right,
and I'm one of the best in football, so I want to be paid like a top running back. And oh, by the way, I'm essentially this team's second best receiving option, so I want to be paid like a number two receiver, and I want those two numbers lumped together.
Remember Jimmy Graham of the Saints?
Yeah, now with the Seahawks.
He played tight end and wide receiver. So the Saints tagged him a franchise player as a tight end. He grieved it and said he was a receiver, a wide receiver. They ruled he was a tight end. Cost him like $5 million.
Well, the way that guy blocks, I'm not so sure he's a tight end.
Yeah. But yeah.
So the point is, we're at this stalemate here. At some point, he's going to play, Gord, because if he doesn't sign something, he's going to sit out, and he's not getting paid. And that will catch up to him, obviously, and begin to bother him at some point. I wonder, and I don't discount his argument. He's trying to use whatever leverage he's got. Right. But I wonder if some of this isn't, you know, hey, if I'm not in training camp every day, my body isn't getting pounded to you know what.
But they don't do that in training camp anymore. They don't.
Training camp, still a grind.
It's not like a what? It's a grind. It's in the heat. But it's, they don't pound like they used to. I'd be very careful going nose to nose with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, let's ask this guy about that. Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL writer for ESPN, and he's with the Steelers right now, joins us on Overdrive. Jeremy, thanks for taking some time. So Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, weighs in on the Le'Veon Bell situation. How do you see this playing out over the next few weeks?
Well, Le'Veon Bell is training in South Florida, and all signs point to a mid to late August return to the team. So he'll probably wait until they're done with camp and they go back to the team facility in late August. Maybe he'll be back just in time for that third preseason game or the first team offense gets reps. But that's sort of been the plan all along. I mean, he's been every day training in South Florida and has various specialists, you know, footwork specialists and trainers with him to kind of get ready. And really, he's trying to just stay in shape and not get injured. Plan, of course, if he does get injured on his own, then the Steelers don't necessarily, they can pull that franchise tag at $12.1 million. They don't have to sign him for that.
Okay, so how does that play out? Do you think he comes back at $12.1 mil, or do you think it's something different? It's got to be a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, it's either that or nothing at all. So right. They missed the franchise tag deadline to get a long-term deal done, which was July 17th. And once that passed, they cannot do a long-term deal until the end of the season.
So he's got no leverage.
No. It's the 12.1. That's it. So he can play under that or not play at all. Really, this is just a sort of his silent protest. You should have signed me. You didn't. And it's going to be difficult to do so in the future unless the money is right. And so, plus, Eric Berry did this last year, the chief safety. Same situation. He waited till late August. He had a huge year, and now he's under a $78 million contract. So sometimes it does work out in your favor. And the players are cool with him missing as long as he comes back and is ready to go. They want him here, but it's not a huge deal. It's more, the organization doesn't want to set a precedent for this kind of thing.
Jeremy, the idea of the franchise tag was it was supposed to be player-friendly, but we've heard from Kirk Cousins and others how much they hate it. Why do the players hate the franchise tag so much?
Well, I don't necessarily think Kirk Cousins hates it because he made $20 million last year, $24 this year, and he's still going to be in very well positioned for a long-term contract next year with Washington or somebody else. And so it can play in your favor. And Le'Veon Bell played in his favor thanks to Adrian Peterson, who really, when they formulated this, Peterson's huge contract of $100 million from 6 or 7 years ago was still on the books. But for the most part, if you're a player in your prime, you're 25 years old, especially at a place like running back, the volatility there, you just don't want to risk the injury for 1 year. You can't, because really, especially if you're a first-round pick, you're bound to a four-year contract plus a fifth-year option, and then they can franchise you to 6 years. But if you're 28 by the time they do that, it's a clock issue. It's not necessarily just a money issue. It's how much can you make in the littlest time possible. The franchise tag prohibits you in that area unless you're a quarterback.
Jeremy Fowler is with us on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. He's a senior NFL writer for ESPN, and right now he's covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you believe at this particular point, Jeremy, about Ben Roethlisberger's future? I guess he teased at the end of last season that he was considering retirement. I mean, is there any sense that this could be it for him?
There is I would call it a mild sense. I mean, everybody's aware that he could walk away at any time, and I think the Steelers do at this point consider him a 1-year rental. But Roethlisberger has given a few hints that he could be playing a while, even in the last couple weeks. When I spoke to him last week, he had mentioned, hey, if my offensive line keeps playing the way that they have, given up just 17 sacks for most of last year, then maybe that will keep me around a while. And he, you know, that was sort of a nudge, or you know, he sort of acknowledged that maybe 2019 is in the cards for him. And he, you know, he had said again that, hey, you know, I hope to play. It just, it depends on what his family says and kind of where he's at with the health issue. You know, he has taken a lot of hits over the years. Every year he seems to have minor injuries that he has to battle through. Plus, the hits he's taken in the past, he wonders about concussions and the CTE knowledge. He has at least followed that. And so, you know, that's all important to him. But I think the Steelers, for the most part, and especially some of his teammates, say that he's got probably three more prime years left.
One of the things about the Steelers, and I like it so much about the NFL, you've got, I mean, player salaries are paid for by week one opening kickoff. There's real, true parity across the league. The successful franchises, Jeremy, are the ones who have good ownership that doesn't typically meddle, and they're just consistent. The bad ones, well, obviously, it usually starts at the top and it trickles down. It's got to start with the Rooney family. I think that's probably obvious. This is a franchise that's had three head coaches in 35 years or so. Mike Tomlin has just inked an extension through 2020. Unbelievable stability with that Steelers organization, isn't there?
Well, three head coaches since 1969. It's pretty incredible. You know, Chuck Noll, Mike Tomlin. Tomlin just signed his extension. There was no worry about his job status anyways, but the fact that he signed and is under contract till 2020 says a lot, because they're basically re-upping him every 2 years and not letting his contract dangle. And so he's in a great spot. They just prefer it, and they'll wait through the downtimes and hope that the storm gets weathered, and usually that works out. And with Mike Tomlin, it hasn't been an issue because he's been a 500 or above every year. He's never had a losing season. That's probably the most impressive part of his tenure. But around the facility, around the team, you know, there's a calming effect to it from the ownership down. Art Rooney, the team president, of course, Dan Rooney, when he was alive, you know, they're in the cafeteria with the players. They're around all the time. They're very accessible, you know, very understated in their approach to football and life.
Jeremy, there's a lot of teams out there that need help at quarterback, and Colin Kaepernick still not signed. Do you think he'll play this season?
Who, Kaepernick?
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think no. I just don't. Unless there's another injury situation, it's pretty clear that Baltimore's not going to move on that. I just don't know where he fits at this point, regardless of him being obviously more talented than anybody that is available. You know, it's a weird dynamic because you see these teams and the way they're acting, and you can't help but wonder what's going on. And then, you know, at the same time, you do talk to coaches that say, look, it's just, you know, he can't really play the way you need a quarterback to play. It's just, you know, the numbers were a little inflated last year compared to what they actually think of the talent. Now, maybe that's just their way of sort of excusing things, but, you know, I don't, around the league, I look and don't see an opening right now unless Baltimore does something. It seemed like the perfect situation because, you know, Kaepernick is better than Ryan Mallett, and it still didn't pull the trigger on that.
So Jay Cutler gets a contract, and he doesn't.
Right. Now, that situation with Adam Gase, being with him 2 years ago, and Cutler actually had one of his better years with Gase, I do understand that from a football level. I mean, these guys are all about comfort and somebody knowing the playbook on short notice. So that one does make some sense to me. For me, it's the Baltimore one, or really the Seattle one. And, you know, from what I heard, Seattle was actually ready to sign him. Something happened either in the meeting with them where they just didn't maybe feel like football was all the way to focus. And just that, at least that seemed to be the buzz that, I thought that would have been the spot about a month ago when they signed Austin Davis instead.
With Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL writer for ESPN, what's the situation with Denver's quarterbacking, Jeremy? Is there going to need to be a move made there? Or are they going to go with Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch in what was a difficult division last year? And with, you know, Oakland and Kansas City being a concern, maybe even the L.A. Chargers, Philip Rivers, you know, if he has a good season. That's a tough division. Do they need to address that position?
Well, they probably need to, but based on their options, I don't know how they do. AJ McCarron with the Bengals comes to mind. I think he's pretty talented, but I don't know they're ready to give up a second round pick for him when really they gave up picks to get Paxton Lynch. And so Lynch, the problem there is he just hasn't taken ownership of that job. They see the talent, but they see it erratically, where at least Trevor Siemian, for the most part, you know what you're getting. He looks a little more comfortable in the offense this year from what I have heard. And so they're in a decent spot with that defense. They just want somebody who's not going to give away the game. And you know, Siemian is probably the best candidate for that. But, you know, Lynch is the issue because he's the first-round pick. They want to be able to give the ball to him. They just can't yet.
Great stuff, Jeremy. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Jeremy Fowler, senior NFL writer for ESPN right now. He's on a tour, but right now he's with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So Bell's just going to show up?
Well, this is it, right? I mean, he wanted to be paid like a one running back and a two wide receiver.
Right.
And combine the two salaries. I mean, I just don't think there was any chance of that happening. And so this is the thing. He's right now, he's down in Florida. He's working with his own strength and conditioning guy.
Right. And he pulls a hamstring or like I know guys do it, but I'm you know,
$12.1 million. Tough for me to sneeze at that, you know, on a 1 year deal. And then you take your chances. If he puts up the numbers this year that he did last year, he'll be in a prime position for one of two things.
Yeah.
Another tag in which he'll get paid.
Yeah, or a monster extension.
Or a monster extension. And this is the thing with Kirk Cousins, right, Gorda?
I mean, right, but when they tagged him at first, he was upset.
He was upset. And you remember he's running off the field last year. Yeah. Look at me now.
Yeah.
Well, if they tag him for a third consecutive year next offseason,
can you do that?
Yeah. You could tag
a guy forever.
You could tag him from here until eternity, but he's going to continue to get a salary uptick, and that's all guaranteed money. I mean, if you cut him, boom, you owe him that year's salary. So if you put Kirk Cousins' guaranteed numbers together last year and this under the tag, it's in the $44, $45 million range. Well, he could go and sign as a free agent a $120 million deal. But if 50, 55, 60 of that is guaranteed, he's essentially made over the last 2 years, or maybe it would take him 2 years and a bit, to make what he would sign on a long-term deal guaranteed. So it's not the end of the world for him.
It's an interesting sort of thing that, you know, it was supposed to be a player-friendly thing, and the players don't like him.
Well, you're a free agent, except you're
not.
You're not, right? So there's a lack of freedom to the free agency.
The Kaepernick thing, by the way, amazes me. In a league that's so desperate for quarterbacking.
Right.
You're telling me that not one NFL team...
I believe that there is...
16 touchdown passes last year, 4 interceptions.
There is an element to the protest. It's a conservative league. A lot of older white men own these teams. I do think, to an extent, there is a schematic argument to be made for why he doesn't have a job right now. And that is that, okay, if our guy goes down and he's our backup, we got to overhaul the offense. I really don't think teams believe that he can play in that traditional drop back, survey the field. Option one isn't there. Okay, I got to check down, or I got to look at 2, 3, 4. I don't think they keep
NFL feeling... teams have 30 coaches each. You're telling me
they also bring 4 or 5 quarterbacks to training camp. He should be in a camp. Like, absolutely.
Like, come on. I mean, I know what you're saying, but they're grasping at straws if they're saying, well, we'd have to overhaul our offense. You're trying to win football games. Does he give you a better chance to win a football game than
Ryan Mallett
or Jay Cutler? I mean.
Yeah, that's the Gase connection in Miami.
I'm just saying. Like, I mean, there were other teams in on Cutler. It wasn't just Miami's. It turns out. So, I mean, I just incredible to me how conservative that league is.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising, though.
No, nothing.
Not surprising.
No, the no fun league.
Argos GM Jim Pop coming up. My Pro Line best bets as well. Ooh. Before Overdrive is out. Get your pen and paper ready, Gordon.
You gotta like to gamble.
You got a ticket to play.
What's your record like lately?
I've probably done this 140 times now. I think I'm 4-136.
So I might just put my pencil.
Yeah, there you go. Write it down and then bet the opposite. That's what you're looking to do. It's all ahead. Overdrive, TSN 1050, and the TSN Go app. I didn't want to step
grade
on them.
Grade 10. It was grade 10 for me.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
There's never been a point in my life where I can't remember this song existing.
Grade 10. I'm going to say 1979 or 80.
There you go. I was born in 79.
Remember the album? Mickey Lalonde used to play that thing. He used to play that album at like 1,000 decibels. Highway to Hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just letting it play.
You know what's awful? I was at the Gardens, and Jimmy Holmstrom, the organist, used to sit right down from me, right around the corner, like in the audio booth. And so some guy proposed to his girlfriend, and someone joked, what songs you play? Jimmy played like Wedding Bells, and some wag said, play Highway to Hell.
Well, the Argos aren't on the Highway to Hell, but they're on the Highway to Montreal.
The train tracks.
The train to Montreal. There you go. Probably via. They play the Alouettes tomorrow night, and the East is a wide-open division right now. The Argos lead it with 6 points through 7 games. Their general manager, Jim Popp, joins us on Overdrive for his weekly visit. Jim, thanks for this. Tomorrow night is going to be an important one for you, considering your history in Montreal, I would assume.
Oh, well, it has nothing to do with me, but... Obviously, there's a lot of connections and a lot of people I've worked with, and obviously now both organizations, and so it makes for fun and a lot of players on the field that I've had involvement with, so it makes it a lot of fun. But this is a big home and home series between the two teams, and first place on the line.
Before we get into tomorrow night's game and the status of Ricky Ray and whatnot, I mean, Anthony Calvillo was your star quarterback. There's no question about that, Jim. But to have a sustained run of success the way that you did in Montreal for more than a decade, I mean, what were some of the things that went into that in terms of the culture that you tried to set with that organization?
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate. When we first came to Montreal, we really tried to bring that culture we had in Baltimore to Montreal, and we were fortunate to do it, especially with some of the leaders that we were able to re-sign, you know, starting with Tracy Hamm and then eventually getting Mike Pringle back and Alfred Payton and, you know, some really key guys that, you know, were mainstreams in Baltimore, and that just carried on. We built a great locker room with a lot of new players and really tried to keep that. But we also tried to have as great a coaching staff we had, have as great a personnel staff we had. We always tried to do it the best we could and had to rebuild it and tear it apart several times. But while we did that, we were able to find a way to win or keep getting back up to the top. And that's not easy to do. It's very hard to stay at the top. And it helps a lot when you got a quarterback that a lot of people didn't want to give a lot of credit to for a lot of years. And finally, he's gotten his credit where it was due. But he had a lot to do, you know, with it, both Tracy Hamm and, you know, and of course Anthony Calvillo.
Jim, Jeff Matthews gets the start tomorrow night in place of Ricky Ray. Played a little bit last year for Hamilton. What do you guys see in him that makes you think that he can be an everyday player in the league?
Well, he's he can sit in the pocket. He can throw every throw on the field. He's a super intelligent guy. He's had a lot of great training. You know, obviously he spent time with Coach Austin in college and in Hamilton. He was looking for an opportunity, wanting to come in and compete. You know, he's now got Coach Tressman. So, I mean, he's learned a new system. But, you know, he hasn't played since the last preseason game, and he played very well in that game. But he can sit in that pocket and make all the throws and, you know, really to in my opinion, to have a chance to win year in and year out, you really need that type of quarterback that can do that. And, you know, he's growing, but he has a big upside to him.
Jim, he'll face an Alouettes defense that's always, I thought, been underrated. People always talked about the great offensive players you guys had in Montreal, but that defense has always been pretty good. A player like Chip Cox, do we appreciate how good he is?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if Chip's ever, you know, Chip's a Hall of Famer. You know, whether, you know, he should get that that credit and induction one day. He's never been a flashy player in regards to drawing attention to himself. He's always been someone around the ball. He's a tremendously hard worker. He's in phenomenal shape, and that's why he's been able to play as long as he has. But he's also a team player and just really wants to do well. But, you know, guys like Chip or guys, you know, Y, you know, Kai Zabear and John Bowman, these guys that have been around, and Steph Logan. I mean, you know, these guys have for years have been team players and worked hard. But the defensive guys, really what we're talking about, is why there's been a mainstream there for a long time.
We're with Argos GM Jim Popp. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. What's the very latest, Jim, on the status of Ricky Ray? Do you have a better idea of when he may return?
Oh, we really had strong hopes he'd play this week. You know, he felt better every day. It's just a matter of what, you know, we got to do the smart thing. I mean, it's a long season. Even if he wouldn't, you know, say right where he needed to be, you know, he probably could have played, but the smart thing is for him not to play. You know, it's still sore. He's bruised. He has no structural damage. You know, hope he'll only improve each day next week to where he has no soreness and he's throwing just perfectly fine and he can play next week.
Jim, finally, Mark Trestman's more likely to pull out a molar for you than tell you how he feels about going back to Montreal, but this must be special for him too.
Well, I think, you know, I think for all of us, you know, we have tremendous memories there. I mean, you know, I was there for 21 seasons and Mark was there for just five, and we have great friends. You know, all my kids were born there. It's a home for me. But, you know, we all, you know, this business is, you don't usually stay in one place as long as I did, or even sometimes 5 years like Mark did. And we've had tremendous relationships, you know, from ownership down through an organization, but also in the community, and you get embedded in the community. So it's always special from that standpoint. But, you know, when you're going on a competition, when you've been in the league a long time, or you get to know people well, you know, everything becomes familiar. You're used to seeing people. We've already played in Montreal once, not in Montreal, but so we've had that rekindle of friendship with people. But you know, it's a game. It's a competition. There's first place in the line, and it's all business when you get there and you go to the field. And after you're finished and done, then we can shake hands and smile and be friends again.
Jim, we wish you luck tomorrow night. As you said, big front end of a doubleheader between these two teams. We'll be watching, we'll be listening, and we'll talk next week.
Perfect. You guys have a great night. Thank you.
Take care, Jim. Good night. Jim Popp, the GM of the Argonauts, and they're into Montreal tomorrow night, a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. You can watch on TSN.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what they're trying to build here is what they had there, and the key to that is you got to get some good Canadian players. You got to get a core of Canadian players that make the difference for you. They had a great offensive line in Montreal for a long time.
Can I fire you?
Fire me? Fire me anytime you want.
No, can I fire you an extreme hot take about tonight's game?
Okay.
Because this Red Blacks record, I know Henry Burris was active on Twitter and had to clarify some things on CTV Morning in Ottawa. That would be a big thing up in Ottawa. The Red Blacks are 1-5-1 with a point differential of -8. They've had a couple of overtime losses.
They've lost on the last play of the game a bunch of times.
So they're home to Edmonton tonight. 6-0, Esks are in town.
Yeah.
You can hold me to this tomorrow. I say Ottawa wins tonight.
They do not win tonight. Ottawa will not win tonight.
They will not win tonight?
I don't like making predictions. I like to bet. Which is a prediction with money on it. I think Edmonton will win tonight.
Okay. All right.
You going to wager on it?
Well, let's do Proline first, which will give me a delay tactic to...
Oh, okay. Good.
You know, consider what it is I'm willing to wage, and then we'll get after it. So it is time now for today's Best Bets, brought to you by ProLine, and it's a full slate of MLB action. Can't bet the Edmonton-Ottawa game because, well, betting's closed.
You could bet the NFL preseason if you want to.
Yeah, which is...
That's a sign you have a problem.
Yeah, here's I'm not all up on Miami's third-string cornerbacks to know who's going to get burned or not in tonight's game. So I'm sticking with baseball. Sonny Gray over Marco Estrada. A bit of a reality check for Blue Jays fans, unfortunately, who think this team might still have a shot at the playoffs. Take the Yankees as the visitor plus. Danny Salazar's got the ball for Cleveland. I'm on Cleveland as the visitor plus at Tampa Bay. And the red-hot Cardinals are home to the blue-cold Royals. I like St. Louis at home over Kansas City. Throw down 20. This ticket will pay you $114.80. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio, and you can get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, we got 90 seconds to figure this out. I'm on Ottawa. You're on Edmonton.
I got the Dodgers over Arizona tonight.
You do?
Yeah.
L.A., man. They're crazy good. They win 10 in a row. They lose one, and they go on another 8-9 game winning streak.
They're fun to watch.
They're fantastic. They got kids who hit home runs scored.
I'm not against home runs.
No, I know.
I just think that striking out 150 times is not a recipe for postseason baseball.
Okay, we're down to 60 seconds.
60 seconds.
So are we throwing coin on this? Are we throwing...
I think whoever loses the Ottawa-Edmonton bet tonight has to bring the snacks tomorrow.
Okay.
And I don't want, like, a bag of chips.
Are you giving me points?
No.
I'm not baking.
Ottawa's at home.
I'm not cooking.
I want muffins. I want, like, baked goods. You have to bake them, but there's a Tim Hortons in the building.
Okay. What about some pizza? What if I bring some pizza?
You got a deal on pizza, though. You have some strange
no,
pizza.
No, go away. You don't know that. You're not here a lot. You have no idea.
I saw this on Twitter.
I might bring six boxes tomorrow.
You have some backdoor pizza deal.
This is going to fall on you when the Red Blacks win tonight, Gord.
So what? You're bringing pizza? Okay, what am I bringing?
What are you bringing pizza?
I'm bringing pizza?
Yeah.
The difference is I'll have to pay for my pizza.
All right, we'll do this again tomorrow. Can't wait.
I'll be here.
Fun. Looking forward to it. Stay with us. Naylor and Landsberg, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.